Okay, so how does the Mahabharata start? Sutta Goswami, the son of Ramaharshan Sutta, that's a whole other story we'll tell later, went to Namasharanya. Now, the rishis there knew Kali Yuga had already started. So the rishis there started doing jagya to kind of turn the tide of the evil, more or less. And this is interesting. You're thinking, well, someone might ask, well, it's Kali Yuga. Why are, you know, they're doing jagya still? Well, it's interesting. But in the Narsimha Purana, it says that whatever in Kali Yuga, Dharma is so rare that whatever Dharma you do, like if it's jagya, the gods will accept it. Because it's like if you have a small baby, like a little kid, and they cook you breakfast and they totally mess it all up. You're still going to go, oh, that's cute, you know. it's so rare in this age for people to do things, to do any kind of Dharma, that any Dharma that you do, the gods accept it. So the rishis, they were there. They were doing this jagya for 1,000 years. They were going to hold a jagya in Namasharanya. And this is very, you know, very proper kind of Agnihotra. They're worshipping Vishnu. And so Sutta Goswami, he came. And so all of the rishis, they were very happy to see him because his father was a great disciple of Vyasa and also a great storyteller. And so they came and he had been gone for some time. So they said, where did you go and what did you see and what did you do? And then they received him. They gave him a nice place to sit. They washed his feet. They gave him nice things to drink. There was some milk mixed with ghee and yogurt, and he drank that. That was the way that they'd get people to feel refreshed. And then he said, I was just at the snake sacrifice of King Janaminjaya. And the most amazing thing happened. The Vyasa was there. There's so many rishis. And they told this story called Mahabharata. And so I have come here and I will tell you. And they're like, oh, wow, that's wonderful. And so they said, but why did he have a snake sacrifice in the first place? And he said, oh, I'll tell you. There was one great, powerful Brahmin, and he had a disciple named Uttanka. Now, this disciple was very good to his guru, and he wanted to give him some dakshin, which this is when after the idea is that you go to a guru and he teaches you. And you stay with him for a certain period, and once you've learned what he's taught you, then you're able to function on your own. So you give your guru some dakshin, and that's kind of a sign of you having gained knowledge. There's a way they describe it. It's like one should try to attempt to learn to gain. And so when you go to the guru, you're supposed to receive something. And then once you've learned and you understand and you can apply on your own, then you're able to go on your own. And then you have full, that means that's a sign of full realization. So he wanted to give the dakshin. So he had one wife and he said, you know, I'm perfectly content. His guru said, I'm perfectly content. But ask my wife, she might want something. So he went to his guru's wife. At that time, everybody was grihasta. Sannyasis mostly lived in the forest. They were far away. If you had a guru, it was a Brahmin or a grihasta. At that time, it was almost 100% like that. So he went to his guru's wife, and he said, I want to give some dakshin. Please tell me what it is that you want. She said, we're going to do a very fancy jagya soon. So actually, there's a queen of this region that has very nice jewelry. and they're very religious people. So you go to them and you ask if you can borrow this jewelry and I can wear it at the Jagya and look very nice. So Utanka was like, okay, I'll do that. So as he was going, he came upon a very interesting person. There was this man, and he was a giant man. He was very big, and he was riding on a humongous bull, like it was his horse. And it was a monster. The man must have been like, I don't know, like if he was around today, he was like 9 or 10 feet tall, and the bull was like 20 or 30 feet tall, something extraordinary. So he was a little surprised, and the man said, I know you. You're at Utanka. I'm a dear friend of your guru. And I have two things for you. The first is I have to warn you, because I know that you're going to get this jewelry for your guru's wife. Now, there's a snake named Takshaka, and he actually wants this jewelry. So you have to be very careful. And the second thing is I have a gift that I had given your guru, and I will give it to you now. And the cow, it dropped dung. And he picked it up, he said, eat. And Utanka was thinking. He said, cow dung? But he's like, but this giant man's offering me some cow dung to eat. And he said my guru had taken it. So he ate the cow dung, actually. So then he went to a river and washed his hands. Now, this isn't interesting. I'll tell you now. It won't really ruin it. But I'll tell you now exactly who that was, and it's an interesting story. The person that he met was Indra. And Indra is the one who warned him. And Indra gave him Amrita, but he tested him to see if he would take it. There's another interesting story that's kind of related to this. One time Krishna was in Dwarka, and Indra was there. They were actually very close. So Indra was kind of sitting with Krishna, and Krishna said, oh, I have to go now. And Indra said, oh, what happened? He said, well, Krishna said, I have a friend, and he's a very great devotee of mine. But I love him very much, and I offered him that if he was ever thirsty, I would bring him water. And he doesn't really need water that much, though, because he does so much austerities. But he's thirsty, so I'll bring him water. So Indra said, oh, your friend, he's a great devotee? Krishna said, yes. He said, oh, I'll bring him Amrita. Now, Indra doesn't just give the nectar of immortality to anybody for easily. So he wanted to kind of see if this person was a great devotee or not. So when Indra came, he's dressed as a very kind of a nishada, which is a very low-class person. He had dark clothes and kind of dirty and kind of didn't look too good. And he had this little, pot with the water in it. And so he came to this devotee and he said, here, I have brought you water. And so the devotee saw this person, and he was thinking, I asked for water, and Krishna sends some low-class person? And he's like, oh, this is no good. So then he said, go away. And then Indra came back to Krishna, he said he didn't want it. So Krishna said, really? Oh, well, I'll go over there myself. Maybe he doesn't like you. So Krishna went, and he met the sage, and he brought him water. And the sage said, oh, thank you. Who was that person that came? He said, oh, that was Indra. He came to bring you Amrita. And then the person was like, oh, man. So, we can devote. There's an interesting moral of that story, which is, even though we can do so much austerities, it doesn't really, if it's not affecting our heart or our consciousness, we're just going to be on the bodily platform. And so Indra comes to us with the nectar of immortality. Go away. So Indra is kind of on that level. And so when he came to this Utanka, he was kind of testing him also. So Utanka, back to the story. I hope this wasn't too much of a deviation. Back to the story. Utanka went to the king's palace and he said, "Oh, can I please have the jewelry?" He explained the situation. So they gave him the jewelry. And Utanka was on his way back and he felt really thirsty. So he kind of put it down for a minute, the jewelry, and he started to drink some water. And all of a sudden, the serpent came and took the jewelry and went into a hole. And so Utanka was really like angry, and he's like trying to go into the hole. So he's digging and digging and trying to get into this hole, and he's kind of frustrated, you know. But so he's kind of sitting there, and so actually Indra kind of felt sorry for him. So he threw a lightning bolt and busted the hole really big. So Utanka kind of climbed in. And, you know, he went to another world. And the thing is that he kind of wouldn't have been able to go to Nagaloka if he hadn't had that kind of blessing. So he went into the hole and he went to Nagaloka. So there's all these serpents, and he said, give me the jewelry. And they're like, "No, you're a silly human. We won't give you." The Nagas use the water sometimes, and sometimes holes, and they go. Nagaloka's in a whole nother realm, and so they're very powerful. Nagaloka is in the lower planetary system, and it's filled with all these serpents, and they're so huge. Some of them have 1,000 hoods, some even more than that, and they all have these gems on the top of their heads, and their poison that comes out of their fangs is so toxic that if it mixes with the air that they breathe, it actually ignites the oxygen and makes it become a fire. So simply by breathing, their breath mixed with the poison causes the air to catch on fire. So it actually looks like they're breathing fire. So all this fire that they're breathing reflects off of the gems on their head. In the Nagaloka, acts as like a luminous planet for the lower realm. So all the Rasatala, Sutala, and all these lower planetary systems, they actually get illuminated by Nagaloka. And so he was the Nagas are very proud, and they're envious by nature. So he wanted this jewelry back because they stole it from him, they wouldn't give. So he felt really bad and he was going to leave. But, you know, he started to do some prayers and these devas came to him. And they actually started to make Nagaloka really uncomfortable for the Nagas. And so they got all angry. And then they started to, like, suffer. And so then they're like, "We're sorry." And they gave him the jewelry. It's a Brahmin tejas, you know. You don't want to offend a Brahmin because they have friends in high places. So he went back and he brought the jewelry, and his guru's wife was very pleased. But Utanka was still mad at the Nagas for what they had done. So he went to King Janamejaya, who was the son of Pratiksit. And he went to Janamejaya and he reminded him that your father, Pratiksit, was burnt by the bite from Takshaka, the flying serpent, who stole my jewelry. And these serpents are mean people. They're rude. They bite people for no reason. They're lowly creatures. So please do something to get rid of this pest. So Janamejaya was consulted, and it turns out that they found out that there's a way you can make a fire sacrifice and draw in all the entities into the fire and burn them. So they, Janmanjaya, because he felt, he remembered what happened to Parikshit also. So he, what they wanted to take revenge. So they did the fire, and they, all the serpents started to get sucked into the fire and burn. So, but it took a while. There's a certain, you know, to get the fire sacrifice ready took several days. And all, everyone was kind of gathering there. And so while they were there, Vyasampayana and Vyasa and all these people were there. Vaishampayana was the person who spoke Mahabharat. Janmanjaya asked Vyasa to tell him this history of his race. So he said, I actually have composed a wonderful story, which is a narration of this. So my disciple, he will tell you, because he has been allotted to speak this in the realm of men. So then the sages, they asked Sutta Goswami, they said, how is it and why is it that the serpents got cursed to go be burned like that? There's got to be a reason. This is very weird. I mean, it's not just some Brahmin and some king are going to come to this decision. There's got to be some root cause. So he said, so Sutta Goswami said, oh, yes, I will tell you this story. So a long time ago, in the beginning of time, well, not the beginning of time, but a long, long time ago, during the beginning of things, it was when there was all the Prajapatis and all their wives. That's the root cause of this. So this is another story. This is the story of Garuda. So, the beginning of time, the gods and the demons churned the ocean of milk. And
pause for a second, Jogi. I'm sorry to interrupt you. There's a